And now it's time for Ask Civics 101. It's a chance for you to ask your questions about our government and how it works. And this week, we're answering a listener question about the Hatch Act. For a primer on what it is and why it's important, we turn to NHPR's Nick Capodice, co-host of NHPR's Civics 101. Welcome, Nick.
It is a pleasure to be here, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So tell me, what is the Hatch Act?
The Hatch Act, which was slightly lesser known until the current administration, it's an act from 1939, and what it does simply is it prohibits federal employees from engaging in any political activities while they're working in an official capacity. What this does is it helps establish the federal government as an entity for the people, not one party or another. So what it does is it stops people in federal government from openly supporting a party or a candidate. It stops them from using federal money to support a candidate. It stops them from running for political office while they're working. And what it also does is prevents federal employees from gaining power and favor by publicly supporting other people currently in power. Now, this doesn't stop all federal employees from being politically active. They can go to campaign events and the like when they're not at work, when they're on their own time.
Okay, so how did it start?
Well, this goes back to the man in the White House, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. There were a lot of anti-Roosevelt Democrats, less progressive. They were more in line with Republican philosophies. And they accused some New Deal era government programs, and I'm talking about the WPA here, the Works Progress Administration, of using federal funds to overtly support Democratic Party candidates in the 1938 elections. The Hatch Act was proposed by New Mexico Democrat Senator Carl Hatch, and Roosevelt almost vetoed it. He was going to veto it, but he signed it on the last day he possibly could.
Okay, so who does the Hatch Act apply to?
The Hatch Act applies to all federal employees, and this is a lot of people. The federal government employs millions of people, but there are a few exceptions. So first off, the president and the vice president are not subject to the Hatch Act. People serving in the military aren't restricted by the Hatch Act, even though they're technically under the executive branch. But everyone else is, and this includes United States Postal Service employees and some state employees, too. Any state employee who gets a certain amount of funding from the federal government is also beholden to the Hatch Act.
So let's say you're a federal employee. Maybe you work for the post office, or maybe you work for the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah.
And you're on your social media account and you're tweeting in favor of a particular candidate during your work shift. Is that, or could that be a violation of the Hatch Act?
What's great is that the Hatch Act is under the purview of the Office of Special Counsel, and they have a great online resource to say what is and is not a violation of the Hatch Act. But your example, Peter, yeah, that is not kosher. That is a direct violation of the Hatch Act.
Okay. Thanks for letting me treat you like a lawyer there for a moment.
Has
anyone ever been punished for violating the Hatch Act?
Yeah, and when I was doing some research for this, I was shocked at how many people have been fired for engaging in political activity at work. Many federal employees have been punished for violating the Hatch Act. But to be honest, these are all lower-level employees. I don't think there's anybody that you or I know whose name is recognizable on the national stage who's been punished for violating the Hatch Act. I would suggest, though, that anyone who works in federal or state government visit the website of the Office of Special Counsel to see how it applies to them, specifically for, as you mentioned, social media. Liking a tweet that solicits political contributions can legit get you fired.
Wow. Okay. And there are two instances of accusations of Hatch Act violations in the Trump administration that got lots of media attention. Kellyanne Conway's televised support for Roy Moore, the Alabama Senate candidate, and President Trump himself delivering his acceptance speech at the RNC from the White House lawn. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah. So here's an audio clip of the moment in an interview that Kellyanne Conway was accused by the Office of Special Counsel for violating the Hatch Act. Let me play that for you.
And Doug Jones in Alabama, folks, don't be fooled. He'll be a vote against tax cuts. He's weak on crime, weak on borders. He's strong on raising your taxes. He's terrible for property owners.
So
and Doug Jones is a doctrinaire liberal, which is why he's not saying anything and why the media are trying to boost him.
So vote Roy Moore.
I'm telling you that we want the votes in the Senate to get this tax bill through.
Conway, who at the time was a counselor to the president, she was charged by the Office of Special Counsel with violating the Hatch Act during 10 television interviews. The Office of Special Counsel said she should be fired. But what happened was the White House refused to take action, and therefore she was not punished for her Hatch Act violations.
And what about the president?
All right, so some of you may have heard this. Here's a clip of his acceptance speech from the RNC, from the White House lawn.
What's the name of that building? But I'll say it differently. The fact is, we're here and they're not.
So when we're looking at that convention speech on White House property, so yes, the president is exempt from the Hatch Act, but if any federal employees planned or worked at the event, all of them would be in violation. The quote I read was from Jordan Leibowitz. He's a spokesman for the government watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. He said of the speech, quote, "This is so obviously, blatantly, insultingly a Hatch Act violation that it's starting to seem like the Trump administration is going out of its way to find new ways to violate the law." Jordan then said he would be filing a complaint.
Well, Nick Cappadice, thank you very much for breaking it down for us.
It's been a pleasure, Peter. Lovely talking to you.
That's Nick Cappadice, co-host, along with Hannah McCarthy of Civics 101, an NHPR's podcast about our government and how it works. And you can ask your questions about anything related to our democracy. Send it by email. The address is civics101@nhpr.org.